Good count, appreciate. I'm sure God appreciates your presence here this morning. We come together to worship God. We let it find and build up one another. It's such a great time to meet together. The world's been beating us up all week, and yet we can come on the first day of the week together with the saints and worship and praise God. Be encouraged by our brethren, be an encouragement to them as well. You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about God, both in the world and among religious men and women today. Some look at God as a loving God. That's all he is. He wouldn't hurt a flea. He just loves everyone in his creation, and he couldn't bear to punish any of them. Then you have the others. They're claiming God is the God of vengeance. He's just waiting for man to mess up, to disobey him, just so he can punish them. Then you have everyone in between. It's true, God will punish those who don't know him. And it's true that God loves his creation, John 3:16. But who is this God? Can he be both? Some say he's just one person, and he just wears three different masks, so to speak. Others say, no, he's three distinct people, persons. They call this the Trinity doctrine. Well, who's right? Let's think about the Godhead. We read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 this morning. It talks about a Godhead. What is that all about? Is there more than one? So many questions regarding God, so many different answers. And I want to look at the Bible this morning and see what it has to say. See what God wants us to know about him and the Bible, his word. The answer to these questions should be here. So let's look and see on this important topic today. Who is God? First of all, God is not a name. It's a word describing his nature, and that nature is deity, his divine nature. His nature is different than ours. We have a human nature. We have flesh and blood. We live and we die, and that's the end of our existence on earth. God is not like that. He has no beginning. He has no end. He always was, always will be. So when we see this word God in scriptures, if we'll just think of the word deity, the divine nature, the one who has no beginning and will have no end, and the one who is not flesh and blood, then we'll begin to see this concept of God, of who he really is. Secondly, the Bible teaches that there is only one God, one deity. By the time the children of Israel were entering into the promised land, man had devised in his own mind several gods. They came from a land of Egypt that was a place where they had many gods. The land was full of gods. These deities that they worshipped, so they spoke, the gods that they made up in their minds, the god of the plains, the god of the mountains, the god of rivers, the gods of the sky, and the god of weather. They had a god for everything in the land of Egypt. However, with the people of Jehovah, by the way, that's his name in Psalms chapter 83 and verse 18, there is only one God. When Jehovah gave them the Ten Commandments, his laws that would govern his people, he says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, I am the only God that you are to worship. You are to have no other gods before me. Jeremiah, a prophet of his, notice what he calls Jehovah in Jeremiah chapter 10. And verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10. Jeremiah writes, by the Lord, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. He calls him the true God and the living God. And so he is. There is only one. The Apostle Paul also makes this similar statement in his commendation to the Thessalonian brethren who had turned to God. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul writes to the brethren, he says, for they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Paul calls God living and true, as did Jeremiah. Not only that, but there's in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, as he was talking about the one body and the one spirit and the one hope. Notice what one other one he mentions there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called unto one hope of your calling. Begin in verse 4 again. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6. One God and Father of us all, who is over us and through us and in us. Paul says there was only one God. One God, as there is one body. James chapter 2 and verse 19. As James was making an argument, not for having just not believing faith, but a working faith as well. Notice what he says about God in James chapter 2 and verse 19. James says, you believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. So Jeremiah says there's one God. Paul says there's one God. James says there's one God. There's only one God. The scriptures plainly teach that there is only one God, one deity, who has the divine nature. But this one God, this one deity, is made up of several different persons, as the scriptures teach. We see evidence of this in the very creation of man, of mankind. This word God that we see in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 is a plural. Let's go there for just a minute. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. As God was creating the world, and he comes to the point where he's about to create the world. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Did you notice what they said? It said, God said, deity said, let us make man in our image. Us and our are plural words. Us, it's more than one. We saw that there's only one God, but there's more to him than just one person. He's more than a singular being. In Genesis chapter 11, go over a few pages. Genesis chapter 11. As the people on earth were building a tower in the city of Babel, they're going to build a tower off that reach all the way up to heaven. And God comes down, and notice what he says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 7. He says, come, let us go down, therefore, and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Again, he says, let us go down. Us who? Who is it that he's claiming it? It is God, but he's saying, let us do that. Who else is called God and deity in the Bible? We see the Father is called God, the Son is called God, and the Holy Spirit is called God as well. Let's look at something here. We see here the Father. The Father is called God in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's go there for a moment. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3. As Paul was writing to these brethren in the region of Galatia, he introduces this letter to them in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3. Notice what he tells us. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father. He calls the Father God. We see the word Father in the New Testament in its relation. He's talking about one of the Godhead. Also, in 2 John chapter 3, another apostle of Jesus. Notice what he says in 2 John and verse 3. He says, grace and mercy and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Again, mentions God as their Father as God. The Father is God. So we see from these two inspired men of God, the part of this divine being is called the Father. Well, let's look at another one. Notice also the Son. The Son is called God as well in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Let's go there for a moment. Titus chapter 2. And notice in verse 13.
He says, looking for that blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is called God. He's a part of this Godhead that Paul wrote about to the Colossian brethren. Jesus is called God here. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer here is talking about God, this divine nature, who spoke to the ancient prophets. What did this God have to say to the Son? Notice in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, but to the Son he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is in the scepter of his kingdom. Calling the Son God as well. The Son is part of God, the divine nature. And not only that, in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, notice in verse 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Pay attention. He says, the Word was God. Now go down to verse 14. He says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This Word in verse 1 had come down to earth in the flesh as we've known as Jesus Christ. John calls him the Word was God. Capital G-O-D. So we see by these verses, Jesus the Son is part of deity as well. He is part of God. Well, let's look at some more here. The Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 5 is called God as well. In Acts chapter 5, let's go to Acts chapter 5. This is the story or the incident of Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts chapter 5, let's look at the first four verses. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself, and with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of some of that land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. In verse 3, he said you lied to the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4, he said you lied to God. The Holy Spirit is a part of this Godhead as well, in this divine nature, as we see. So we see all those who are called God. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But let's look at some of this for a minute. And notice something. Some people think that God is just one person. He just wears three different masks. And when he's one person, he puts on that mask. When he's another person, he puts on another mask. Is that true? We saw that there's like three different people. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at something else here. Is the Father the same as the Son? Is it the same? Or is the Father the same as the Holy Spirit? Is the Son the same as the Holy Spirit? Are these all one person just with three different masks? Well, let's look at something here for a minute. Whoops. Number one, the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Father is not the Son. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. They're all three distinct people in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. He says, what have we seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that also may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Two distinct people, the Father and the Son. They're not the same. They're different according to what the Scriptures teach. Notice in John chapter 5 and verse 22. Gospel of John chapter 5. We'll look at verse 22. He says, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. The Father's not going to judge. He says he gave that to his Son. The Father doesn't judge anyone, but his Son will. Is the Father somehow wearing the mask of the, fa- the Father when it comes to judge people and hurries up and takes it off and it puts on the mask of his Son so he can judge man? Is that what the scriptures say? Are they the same person just wearing a different mask? No, they're completely different people. Notice it in John. Go back, or go over to verse 30, the same chapter, John chapter 5, and verse 30. Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me, this will of the Father that sent him. Jesus didn't come to do his will, but he came to do the Father's will. The two are different. Remember, as Phil talked about this morning, Jesus' prayer in the garden. He prayed to his Father in heaven, not my will, but your will be done. The Father and the Son are not the same person. And one last one, John chapter 5, let's go over now, verse 17 and 18. It says, but he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his Father, making himself equal to God. These Jews understood. The Father and Jesus were two different people, and Jesus was making himself on an equal level with God. They understood that, and they accused him of blasphemy. He alluded that he was deity as well. And the Jews understood that, and they tried to kill him for it. The Father and the Son are equal, but they're not the same. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that Jesus was on an equal basis with God as well. In Philippians chapter 2, notice the beginning of verse 5. He says, have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality of God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Paul says Jesus was equal with God. He wasn't the same person, but he was equal with him. He had that divine nature as the Father had. He said that he put that aside and came to earth and became a servant. Was Paul saying the Father and the Son were the same person? No. He was deity, as was the Father. They were on equal ground. The Bible says the Father and the Son are different people. But notice, too, is the Father and the Holy Ghost the same person? Is the Father and the Holy Spirit, are they the same? Notice in John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. And notice verse 26. The Gospel of John chapter 15. Let's notice verse 26. He says, and when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you, this is Jesus speaking to his 12 disciples. He says, when the Helper comes, whom I also send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. Jesus is preparing his disciples for the time when he's going to leave them and go back to his Father in heaven. And he tells them not to worry. Jesus says he's going to the Father, and he will send the Holy Spirit to them. Now, is the Father going to send himself to the disciples? Is he going to put on the Holy Spirit mask now and then when he comes down to see the disciples? Is that what Jesus is saying here? I think not. He says the Father and the Holy Spirit are two different things. Jesus is going to the Father, and the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit back to him. The Father is not going to send himself. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, this other person of the Godhead. Well, but look at another question. Is the Son the Holy Spirit? Are they the same? What do the scriptures teach? Go back in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14. And let's notice in verse 26. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. Notice this comforter that Jesus was going to send was the Holy Spirit. And now, is Jesus going to go to the Father, take off the Son mask, put on the Holy Spirit mask, and return back to earth to be with his disciples? Does that make sense? Is that what the scriptures teach? Or is he going to go back to his Father to be with him in heaven? And then his Father is going to send the Holy Spirit back to the disciples. And notice why. To teach them all things and to bring to their remembrance whatever the Son said to them. Now, if the Son and the Holy Spirit are the same, why didn't Jesus just stay on earth? Save the trip to heaven. He'll just take the mask off here on earth, put on the Holy Spirit mask, and things will be good. We see all three of these are God, our deity, and they are separate in their divine nature. I want you to look at this circle that represents God here. I know it's hard to see, but there are some divisions here. I apologize, I'm not good with my PowerPoint things, but this should say Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it shows this whole circle is God. What we know is God in the Bible. You've got the Father, you've got the Son, and you've got the Holy Spirit. Three distinct people. And we have all kinds of evidence of this in scriptures. Notice in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, at the baptism of Jesus. We have all three persons present. Notice verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, begin in verse 16. And after being baptized, Jesus went immediately up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and resting upon him. And behold, a voice from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." All three individuals of the Godhead present at the birth or at the baptism of Jesus. Deity was there at the baptism of Jesus. All three. If these were not separate people, please explain to me how God can be in heaven, the Father can be in heaven, the Holy Spirit is coming down from heaven, and Jesus is on earth. How can that happen if they were all the same person? There are three different individuals. Jesus was God in the flesh on earth. He was baptized. The Father from heaven sends down word that this is his Son, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell upon him. All three present at the baptism of Jesus. All three separate beings. And notice one more in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, as Jesus was about to ascend to his disciples, or to heaven, his Father, he gives us his word to his disciples. As he's about to leave, notice in Matthew 28, and let's look at verse 19. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Jesus is giving his final instructions before his ascension to go baptize people. Teach them and baptize them. But notice, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If they were all the same, why didn't he say just, why not baptize them in the name of God? He didn't. He specifically mentioned the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. People, let's not be misled regarding who God is. He is deity. He is divine in nature. He is not like mankind. He's superior to man in every way. But God, as we know it in the Bible, is set up of three separate persons. It's not just one man going around taking off a mask and putting on another one. God is smarter than this. This borders on the ridiculous. This reality of the Godhead cannot be denied. This is what the scriptures teach. Those outside of Christ may reject it. They may pursue their own ideas and teach them to others and have them believe that as well. But it's not from God. This idea of the Trinity, or whatever you want to call it, is true. God is comprised of three distinct people, three separate people. Let me close this morning with a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. Moses writes, "Unto you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him." There is one God, made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there is no other God beside him. As Jeremiah and Peter explained, he is the one true and living God. And we all remember that. And when we see that word God in scriptures, let us now focus upon what we're talking about. We're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, unless otherwise noted. God is just three distinct persons, and they all love the world, or love us. But the Father sent his Son to save us, that we would have everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Father sent the Holy Spirit to the disciples to guide them into all truths, that they would turn and tell mankind what we need to know to be saved. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we see Peter doing that exact same thing. Speaking by the inspiration of God, the message of salvation to the Jewish people at the time. What the apostles taught was that we need to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. He was the Messiah that was to come into this world to die for our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins, that we might have everlasting life. Do you believe this? Jesus himself tells us that we need to confess him before men, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. The Holy Spirit also really revealed to the apostles that we need to repent of our sins and to turn our lives around and start to serve the God of heaven, the only true and living God, this deity. Our Lord himself told us we need to be baptized in water, buried with Christ, the Son of God, and have our sins washed away in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. The Lord himself tells us that we need to remain faithful to him until our lives shall end upon this earth, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. If you haven't done this yet, will you do it today? We begin to serve the God of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as they've directed in the Bible. Now we know who God is. Will we serve him? Will we be servants of his? Read what he asks us to do in the scriptures and be following him faithfully until we die. God loves us and he wants us all to be saved. Maybe you've already done this, been baptized, but you've turned back into the world. You've done some public sin that you need to repent of. Turn from and come back to serve God fully and truly. We're going to sing this song that Terry's selected for us this morning. We're going to meet God one day. Are you prepared? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, would you come? We'll always sing this song.